Splash, play. Splash your sails. Splash your sails. Hey, with A, me, Quinn Lee. Splash your sails. Starting now with A, me, Quinn Lee. Go.
What up, fools? Welcome to the Splash your sails podcast. I'm your host, Amy Quinn Lee, and today we are here to recap Jerry Springer Live. Nah, Jeff Lois from April 29th to May 3rd. Starting with Monday, we had Leah Black and Shane Duclos. Jeffrey Count, do you think when people really, can people really break glassware with their voices? Is that just an urban myth? I really should watch Mythbusters more often. I feel like they would answer so many questions that I have. And I'm pretty sure that it's still on and going, even though the Mythbusters themselves, they must be like 75. So maybe it's their sis, their daughters and sons took over. Oh, we love a good Nepo baby. Okay, so we start the week with Jeff recounting their journey to Dallas, to Dallas, Texas. Shane Duclos in Dallas, Texas. Oh my God, that's a Jeff Lewis tongue twister that they can have the audience do before one of his live events. Doesn't that sound like fun, everyone? No. Okay, so they had to convince TSA that the radio equipment that they were bringing to be able to host this lovely show, as I just kick over the table, it wasn't a bomb. It's not a bomb, people. It's just some bomb-ass radio host coming through TSA, baby. Whoop, whoop. No, honestly, I could totally see Shane being like, we don't have a bomb. Just some bomb-ass duck, bitch. Some bomb-ass duck. Shane's like, ew, I'd never fucking say that, bitch. All right. Maybe you would. Maybe you would. No, but their handler was then telling them that they got through the bomb thing and they passed the test. I'm sure on the way back, though, like, Jeff, he has to have some type of flag on his account. I mean, he is kind of a walking red flag at this point, but so TSA probably already knows, but Jeff's like, shut the fuck up, bitch. Shut the fuck. You're a red flag. Yeah, no, I'm literally a red flag. I'm a ginger flag. Oh my God. Okay. But their handler, she was telling them, or I don't know, they were telling Jeff and Shane to like scan something like a library card. And Jeff was like, oh my God, that's hilarious. You think we go to the library? You think we know how to do anything at a library? What the fuck? And it was just funny because for them to be on a plane and the library come up, obviously I have a plane library story as well that I would love to share. Always back to yourself. That's just the circle of life. No, it's the detriment of human society. No, it's survival. It's survival. Human survival. You got to look out for yourself and think of everything in terms of you. But my last plane ride, I went to the library. Oh my gosh. And I know the Dewey Decimal System enough, but I still need help every now and then. And I'm not afraid to ask. I don't know if you could tell. I ain't afraid to ask. In fact, I would prefer that instead of like wandering around and wasting my time for a half an hour twiddling my twat in the aisles. Like, half the other people there. But so I go up to this guy working and he was like an older gent, kind of like Doug Buden looking adjacent, but this guy was much more grumbly and like angsty. And I was like, sir, do you have any books in the nonfiction section that are about like climbing mountains, adventures, things gone wrong, catastrophic events? No, but his face lit up and he's like, yes, come here. Brings me over to that section as he's showing me all these things, which is another thing. Okay, I asked for the section. I didn't need a guide through the section. You know, I just wanted to be guided to the section. I don't like, even when like you walk into a store and they're like all over you, or a waitress when they're all over you. And then, but I'm like Goldilocks, because then if they're not there enough, I'll complain. But if they're there too much, I'll complain. Ugh! The forever balance we're seeking. So actually some of us have sought it. Some of us, is that the sought? So, if you've seeked and then you sought it, I don't know. What if you seeked something out and then you find it, I guess you found whatever. Okay. Some of you get balance. You were born on a balance beam. All right. The rest of us were doing flips off into that foam pit. Oh my God. So much fun. So much fun. So, oh yeah, the library. So the guy, as he's like guiding me through all these books, and it's like nice, but like also I just wanted to look through wicked quick and find one really quick. And now he's extending my time there. And then I get angsty when I feel like I'm just wasting time hearing this guy read a synopsis about every, I don't need it. I don't, but thank you. It's very nice, but I don't need it. So anyways, he was like, wait, there's a book in a different section that I think you would love. And I was like, great, scram, go and find it. And then I just sneak out the back door, never to be seen again. No, but then he comes running back over. I promise this has a point. He comes running back. It's not a great point, but he comes running back over and he was like, this book, so it's about these adventurers and they got into a plane and it was hijacked and then they crashed into this mountain and it's this great survival story, whatever. And I was like, sir, I am taking this book to go on a plane. I'm taking this book to read on a plane. Why would you think that the topic of material that I would like to be enjoying on my plane ride is about plane crashes? What the fuck? If you're about to have major surgery, do you want to read a book about someone who had that exact major surgery and died? No! What the fuck? Oh my God. It was great. So but then since he went to a different set and he brought it over, of course I was like, thank you. So oh my God, I'm totally gonna get this and never read it. It's probably overdue at this point. Now I owe money because of him. No, it's my own damn fault. What's that song from Wasting Away in Margaritaville? That's what we should all be doing this weekend. Happy Cinco de Mayo. Arriba! Wait, also speaking of plane crashes, which I'd really like to move on from this, but I did just watch this Columbia, the space shuttle. Oh my God, that documentary on CNN. So good, you guys. Except I hate when I leave a documentary or anything really with more questions than answers, even with Jeff Lewis. But it's my own brain. It's my own damn fault. It really is. But with the Columbia documentary, so if anyone doesn't know, it went out to space for like 16 days and successful mission until re-entry, and basically everybody on the ground knew that it was going to fail, but didn't tell. Even one of the guys working at NASA, he knew that shit was going to go down, literally go down, and his wife was on the shuttle. She was on the space, she was on the Columbia, because there's another Challenger. That one also exploded, but that one was real quick, right. We didn't even, they didn't even leave the stratosphere. This one, they literally thought that they had a successful mission up in space and were safely coming back home. But on the, yeah, you should just watch the documentary. I'm not gonna, but wait, what was my point about it? I don't know. I just watch it, all right? Okay, so then Jeff, Leah, and Shane, they all had reservations at Carbone at 7:30 p.m., Now, I have mentioned before Rao's, it's a dream restaurant of mine because of their sauce, the motherfucking sauce that I buy at the grocery store. You can find it in your own local Kroger's. Ew, we don't even have Kroger's around here. Stop and Shop? Are those by Coastal? So, but then I found on Whole Foods, they're everywhere, right? Thanks to JB, Justin Biebs, no, Jeff Bezos. So Whole Foods has a sale on Carbone's pasta sauce, their tomato basil marinara. Oh my motherfucking God. Mwah. Chef kiss. Mwah. Chef kiss again. Mwah. Chef make out. I'll chef fuck you. I will fuck that chef who made that sauce. Maybe. I don't want to make too bold of a statement. But no, it's so fucking good. So Rao's is amazing. Carbone's, it's kind of better. Carbone's, I would venture to say that it was one dash of basil more delicious. So I'm definitely not willing to pay the $9.99 I believe it typically is. But for $8.49, I'm willing to at least know what it's like. So now I'll just drool every time I walk by it in Whole Foods. Okay, so, but Jeff and Shane, they actually got to go to this Carbone restaurant, the same one that I am eating their jarred sauce that was probably jarred, I don't know, 5 years ago in some warehouse in Brooklyn. No, but Jeff and Shane and Leah, they get the fresh stuff. It must have been so fucking delicious. Also, I don't know if Carbone sells their pastas, dried pastas in grocery stores, but Rao's spaghetti, Rao's all their pastas, mwah, chef kiss for them. They don't get a chef fuck for that, but they get a chef kiss. Maybe a chef heavy petting. A chef heavy petting. It's really good, their spaghetti. Okay, so when Jeff and Shane and Leah got to Carbone, they had to wait forever for a table. And by forever, it was probably 5 minutes, honestly, but that feels like forever to Jeff. And they probably got there 5 minutes early, so they probably got seated exactly when they were supposed to. But Jeff, what he ended up doing, so he was livid that they were even waiting at all. So his strategy, he says this, he's like, I knew I had to grease the squeaky wheel. And I was like, oh, shit, I wonder if she got a hundo. I wonder how much that hostess got, or host. But then as he kept on talking, I was like, oh, that doesn't mean grease a squeaky wheel doesn't mean like pay the greasy hostess. No. It means Jeff just pesters them. He stalks the hostess from across the room with his arms crossed, just giving them dagger eyes. He pesters them the exact same way that the little balloon boy pestered Monroe at Disney. Jeff is merely the balloon boy all grown up. He is the balloon boy all grows up. He wants what he wants when he wants now. Maybe that's just Veruca Salt again. Also, I know that I mentioned Monroe reminding me of Veruca Salt last week, which I have my own Veruca Salt symptoms as well. But now, after talking this week, I really feel like she's more Cher from Clueless. That couldn't be more accurate in my head. Okay, so back to Carbone, Jeff giving dagger eyes to the host and not paying them instead to cut ahead like he normally should. That's what I thought, that was his thing, just shove money at people. That's just ask Balloon Boy's parents. Oh my God, I want to see the CCTV footage from Disney. I just pictured Jeff literally pulling out a 20, crumpling it up, and throwing it to them from across the way. Go get him his own fucking balloon. Fucking weirdo, stop playing with us. Okay, so back to fucking Carbone. God damn it. So Jeff keeps on asking the hostess, pestering, and just standing in front of them, again, just literally stalking his prey, and or really just using intimidation tactics to get what he wants, which, you know, that seems to be his method in life. It seems to work for him this far. But Leah Black, she was like, yeah, it was kind of rude, Jeff. And Jeff's like, I don't give a fuck. And Leah's like, we know, it's your brand. So again, it's working for you. I wouldn't do that if I was just, like, I don't see the point in the stare down, maybe a few glances and then they get it. I was just at back to me. No. Okay. This is just so rude to me, like that, whatever hostess at Carbone, they were just being polite and whatever. And like, yeah, well, your table will be ready soon. I've heard that it's crazy to get reservations at that restaurant anyways. So It makes sense. However, I went to this restaurant last weekend and we had reservations somewhere else, but wanted to go to this restaurant. So we go and they're like, it's going to be an hour. And we're like, fine, that's fine. So she gives, they're going to text us when it's ready, which I love when they do that, because when they give you like one of those old school buzzers, it's like, I'm not staying within 10 feet. What the fuck? I feel like the opposite of like a pedophile near a school. I'm like, I'm getting as far the fuck away from this restaurant as I can for a little bit. And then we'll be back when it's ready. We'll be back when it's ready. We have shopping to do in the meantime. Actually, I would have preferred going and getting a drink somewhere else, but I wasn't with that type of people. They would rather shop. And I was like, oh, okay. That's fine. I'm not starving or anything. And so the hostess, we come back after like a half an hour. Actually, it was exactly a half an hour, because we go there and the hostess looks down and she was like, yeah, I told you guys it was going to be an hour and it's been 30 minutes. So that means you guys will probably have another 30 minutes to wait. Okay. Do you get it? Do you get how math works? And luckily, I wasn't the one interacting with this bitch, with this fucking bitch, because if you have an attitude, don't you ever, we're fucking here at your restaurant, bitch. What the fuck are you? No. So, yeah, I wasn't the one to deal with her, but I was just like, what fucking sass? Like, that's so rude to me for the hostess to be like, we said it out. Yeah, okay, great. Hostesses lie all the time. They tell you an hour and then 10 minutes later, you're enjoying your oyster fritters at a table. I don't know, but it's just like so fucking adult. So that if Jeff was rude back to that hostess, I would have understood. But them at Carbone's merely taking an extra few seconds to make sure that their table was perfect. All right. Jeff, why didn't you guys just go get a drink at the bar? Like, go for a walk. Go smoke a cigarette outside. I feel like Jeff is the type of person that should start smoking. Like, everybody else in the world needs to stop. Jeff, you should go. You need, like, a cigarette break. You need something. But don't smoke, kids. Unless it's my beloved marijuana. And then all bets are off. Okay, so Leah paid the bill at Carbone. Since Jeff, I don't know, Jeff and Shane flew to Texas just to go out to dinner with her. Like, this has always been a question for me. Why do they go to Dallas? Why do they go to Dallas, you guys? What the fuck? I get they love the Roundup and whatever. And I think Leah Black has a house there, she mentioned. But she also has one in California. And when does Jeff just travel for one person to a random city? Like, he'll go to New York for a week and have a bunch of different guests. But to go to Dallas for one show on a random Monday just to see Leah? Why doesn't she just fly all the way to California? Isn't that like just an extra 2 hours in the place? Why doesn't she go to her Beverly Hills home? It sounds like she's never in Beverly Hills. And with all the robberies, it sounds like you should be in your Los Angeles home if you have one. Stand your ground. Protect yourselves. I don't know. Things are crazy. But yeah, I've just always been like, why do they go to Texas? Like, I know that Jeff loves the Roundup, but it just seems so fucking random. So to be in a shitty Boeing and have to deal with all the travel and all that just for one night only in Dallas, Texas. All right, if you say so. But it is nice that Leah pays, because Jeff is normally the sugar daddy of the crew. Ew, sugar daddy of the crew, baby. Sugar daddy of the chump he loves. Ew, chump loving. So we do find out, though, that on the tip line, Leah, instead of writing an actual number for the tip amount, she just writes a percentage and lets the staff calculate it for her. I'm so confused by that, because, like, if you yourself don't write the total, like what you're signing off on paying, then couldn't you always contest the bill and be like, I didn't agree to that tip. They wrote that in themselves. I don't know. I always get scared with that, What if they write in an extra zero and instead of $2, they say you did $20? Or with the tip, what if you were being really shitty and you just did 10% and then they change it to 90%? They just made the one a nine. I don't know. I mean, even with, I'm scared that people will do that, but I also would never check my statement like right after a meal to confirm that they didn't. I don't give a fuck. If people are going to do bad shit, then we hope karma, I hope karma will catch up to them. And if not, then I'll be using Credit Karma soon. I just always see those commercials for Credit Karma. They're so annoying. But also with the tipping stuff, I was at the liquor store last weekend. Ew, at the liquor store around the corner, the voice says, once I really do, but I really don't wanna. I want Angela, Sandra, Chana, and Rita. And as I continue, you know, to get sweeter, who doesn't love Lou Bega? Lou fucking Bega, Mumbo number five. You just, when I hear that beat, I'm like, oh my God, my soul is a dancing. Okay, at this liquor store, though, the noive of these people, it's like one of those screen, the iPad screens, it asked for a tip starting at 25%, starting at 25% at a liquor store where not only that, it was a wicked small liquor store. And me and the person I was with, we were so confused. We were like, should we get this? Should we get that? The liquor store employee did not even once pretend to look up from their phone, pretend to look up to even offer their help. Yeah, I'm supposed to tip you 25% and I'm the bitch if I don't? What is this world coming to? I feel like Jill Zierin now. Jill Zierin. Okay. Oh my God, I'm still on Monday's episode. I need to hurry the fuck up. So then they talked about how Shane performed Super Freaky Girl Batch. Super Freaky Bitch at karaoke the night before, a song that Leah Black has never heard. And Jeff was like, what? You've never heard that before? I'm shocked it's not on your playlist. And Leah's like, make a playlist? I can barely access my emails. Access? I just love when people put the emphasis on the wrong syllable. Emphasis on the wrong syllable is so fucking funny. Like, who said, I can barely access my email. Access? Access. It's not even close. It's not even close. If you were like, that's my axe, I'd be like, oh, are we chopping wood? No, that's my ex. That's the person I dated. Like, if you say that's excess, then it's excessive. If you say it's you access, then legs open, bitch. Spread the legs. I'm kidding. Okay, so Leah Black also was like, young men, they hit on me all the time. It's the strangest thing. I could be your mother. I was like, exactly, Leah. Do you not know the most searched porn category in all of the world across the globe? Even the aliens are searching for MILF porn. Even fucking Jeff just did a promo for MILF Manor. Do you see DILF Manor on? No. They're obsessed with MILFs, okay? The young men, it's all, all the men are obsessed with MILFs, okay? So, and also not only that, rich MILFs. You tick all the boxes, Leah. They can smell money. The youth can sniff out wealth more than you think. More than you would think. Just saying. All right, moving on to the Tuesday episode. We had Jill Zarin. It stinks, and not in a good way. It does not smell like wealth. No, it definitely does if you're around Jill Zarin, Ali Shapiro, and Gary Brody. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? The most successful Three Musketeers I've ever seen. Because I'm pretty sure the actual Three Musketeers, like, got killed. Weren't they, like, little fighters? I just, like, picture mouse with swords. I don't know why. Is that a thing? Oh, because the Three Musketeers, maybe? I don't know. Okay, so they talk about Jill's appearance on Below Deck. Blah, blah, the fuck, blah. Oh, my God. I can't believe these are even headlines or whatever. Like, you're a personality. When Jill was on Below Deck, it's not like it's a surprise that there's going to be footage of it later. Like, she knew what she was doing. She was like, get a doorbell, ring, ring, ding, 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 dong, ding, dong, ding, dong. Now I'm trying to think of her promo off the top of my head. I still have Jeff's fucking MILF Manor one stuck in. I really wish I never heard that. But so with Jill, yeah, like, of course they're gonna use the worst of the worst footage. And it's not even that fucking bad. If you've worked in five-star hospitality, which shockingly I have, everything she said is valid. So, and I've said this before, Below Deck is the worst show to be on because these guests, they all think that they had such a great time, what an amazing vacation, such a good experience. And then 8 months later, they're sitting on their couches watching themselves get ripped the fuck apart by the exact people that were serving them that they tipped thousands and thousands of dollars to. And now these workers, they get behind the scenes, they get to finally say their piece. And yeah, it's not going to be nice because anybody in any job, a lot of people just like to complain. They like to complain about anything. And so, yeah, it's just fun also to like gossip. So if the crew can gossip about the guests instead and like create Jill into this monster, great. Then less on them and their shit going on. All right, glad we just had reality 101 TV talk. Like, what the fuck? I hate all these headlines, even without reality TV. Like, Anne Hathaway was just on a late night show, and there's so many fucking different headlines I've seen that's like, Anne Hathaway turns red with cringe at this interview, whatever. Oh my God, you guys, it was 1 second. She was like, yeah, I did a movie and I don't know if anyone in here's read the book. The audience was silent for 1 second. She's like, oh, ha, ha, I guess. And then Jimmy's like, no one reads anymore. Ha, nobody goes to the library, right, Amy Quinley? And I'm like, fuck that. Me and the guy are just like reading our plane crash book. No, but the entire exchange, it was 1 second. Anne's face could not have been less red. Take it from an actual ginger who will turn red the second. Why do you think I love makeup? It's fucking game changer. Otherwise, it's just Tomatoville. And so it's just like, these aren't headlines. Jill talking about Below Deck, these have been headlines. These aren't stories. Like, it's just regular content. It's just people talking. It's just people having experience. I don't know, whatever. I'm like mad at the own beast that I feed because I go to Daily Mail and New York Post to read these dumbass stories, and then I'm mad that they post these dumbass stories. So shame on moi. Shame on the bitch and the murr. Okay, so Toby the dog, he tore apart Jeff's bedroom when he was out for like the millionth time. And Jeff's neighbor was like, oh, I have a dog trainer if you need another one. Another one? Hasn't he had like 7 already? But I feel like Toby needs a friend. I feel like Toby needs a friend. He sounds like the kind of dog that would thrive with another dog. Like, that's why I ended up with 2 cats. I was not going to be a crazy cat. I was just going to be a regular cat lady with just 1 cat. And it was so fucking playful in its first 8 weeks of being alive on this planet that I was like, yeah, we need a brother. So why can we get Toby a brother? Another dog. That's my solution. A friend to rip up your iPad and stuff with. But also, I do kind of feel bad for, well, kind of, I feel extremely bad for dog breeds that are stuck in the wrong geographical location. Like, for Toby to be living in the Hollywood Hills or anywhere in the Los Angeles area where yard space is an afterthought, you know, what the fuck? Like, they don't value being outside with fresh air, which I get because when I drove through LA for the first time, I was saying to my friend, it's so hazy out. And she was like, that's just the smog here. And I was like, what the fuck? What? People still live here? People still want to live here and all that? Wow. Don't they know there's other land out there? I guess it's beautiful. But so I just feel like Toby would love running on like a ranch in Utah all day, you know? So maybe if you're not going to get him a friend, then at least send him to a farm for the summers or let him go to the French countryside for a summer to run around all day. You have the money, Jeff. At least Grandpa does. That's what Jeff's dad should be investing in. fucking solution for Toby and his energy. Okay, so Jess' neighborhood is being burglarized, as we mentioned. There's like 8 burglaries in 6 weeks. Actually, 9. There was just another one. And it's probably 10 by now. There's one happening at this exact moment at 11. Okay, so they talk about guns and getting a gun. And Shane is like, we are not getting a gun. Like, I've seen you rage out before, Jeffrey. I don't want to give you any ammo. Literally give you any ammo. And yeah, no, I'm kidding. But Jeff was like, no, we are getting a gun. And we're going to the shooting range to learn how the fuck to use it. Yeah, good idea. But if they do that, which, I mean, sure, do whatever. But please do not. Michael Beck, I'm talking to you. I don't know if this is for you, but I think so. Please do not add this as a scene in Hollywood House of Season 3. Oh my fucking God, that storyline of people going to gun shooting ranges. I hate that one. I hate guns going off. Like, I don't want to see you shooting. So it's just so aggressive. I don't like it. I don't like anytime they go to doctor's offices. I skip over that shit. Why would I want to hear you talk about like cancer and shit? No. No, I watch this shit for fun. Not to be depressed. That's just life. So, I hate the shooting range scene. So that's my 5 cents for the year. Then a caller called in and her name was like Empanada or something like that. But she starts off by going, SOS. Shout out, Shane. I was like, what the fuck, bitch? I thought you were about to do an advertisement for Splash of Sass. Thank you very much. But it's also so cute because it made me realize that shout out Shane and Splash O Ass, we have the same acronyms. It's adorable. And they all spell out the International Signal for Help, which is very, very accurate. So S-O-fucking-S. Moving on to Wednesday episode, we had Sutton Ophelia Strack, a.k.a. S-O-S. No, I'm kidding. I don't know if her name's or middle name's Ophelia. I don't know. She didn't tell, but it might be. Could be. And Doug Buten. Fucking Doug Buten. Best friends with Putin. Oh, I mean Jeff Lewis. I mean, I've always said, if the cult leader shoe fits, then put it on the cult leader's foot. So, I don't know, I'm just saying. Jeff and Putin might have the same size shoe. Okay, so Sutton, Doug, and Jeff, they all use white sheets. What the? Talk about SOS. Talk about needing help. What the fuck? Who the fuck uses what? How dare, especially, well, I guess none of them have their periods. Sutton is past that point, I'm gonna guess. Doug and Jeff. Jeff is still, he's going through menopause, so he finally stopped getting his. But yeah, it's just, that's so bold to me to use white sheets. Like, there's fluid, just, I don't like it. I don't like, well, even the cat, I don't know. What if you spill something? Does no one eat in bed anymore? Is what happened to the good old days? No, just like peanut butter cups or something. Those are fun to eat in bed because it's like dessert right before you go to sleep. And so, yeah, there might be a little chocolate stain. I'm not, it's not from anything besides chocolate, okay? Don't even fucking go there. Maybe it is. That's the point of having white sheets. Why would you have that? Because people could assume anything if you consume something. It's just, why take the risk? Dark purple, a maroon. I love a pinky maroon. It's beautiful. Okay, so then we talk about Sutton's coffee reading with Paul. Paul Atu, bless you. And speaking of world-renowned psychic mediums and those who make prediction, all that shit. So my mom, and also a Jeff Lewis live guest as well, or former guest. So my mom sends me the other day an interview with Teresa Caputo, but the interview, it was her on The Breakfast Club, and... The Breakfast Club, it's a great radio show, but just the fact that my mother, specifically my mother, sent me The Breakfast Club interview, I'm like, who the fuck? You aren't you the same lady who 5 years ago in the car was like, you better not play your music, talking about Nicki Minaj, Nicki, but now I'm getting the Breakfast Club interviews. Like, well, okay, I see your algorithm has switched up. I love it. But Teresa Caputo, while she was on, she kept on reiterating how much she wanted people to believe in the afterlife and that when you die, you're greeted by your loved ones. Okay, great. So my question is it just if you've loved them, or did it have to be reciprocal love? Like, could it be unrequited love? Because say you're a recluse, and I'm not talking about me. No, I'm really not. But okay, so say you're a recluse, and like, say you grew up with no siblings and like one parent, and you never go out, never whatever, but you're obsessed with Harry Styles, obsessed with fucking Harry Styles. When you die, is it only going to be your dad there? Like, if your dad is the only one that raised you and you've never interacted with anyone else, is it just your dad? Or do ancestors love you without even meeting them, but you've never met them, so you don't love them? So if they show up and you're like, who the fuck is Aunt Margaret? Who the fuck invited you? But I don't even know you. Get the fuck out of my welcome party, my greeting committee. Itty bitty titty committee. Now I see where I'm getting my tits from. Thanks a lot, Aunt Margaret. God damn it. Why couldn't you have, Uncle Frank, why couldn't you have like procreated with Big Tit Tammy? Big Tit Tammy. I'm joking. We love you and your small tits, Aunt Margaret. I've never even met Aunt Margaret. Okay, so my whole point though is like, would Harry Styles be there for this person if they loved Harry and they were obsessed with Harry? But I guess if Harry's not dead yet, but if Harry was dead, it just leads me to even more questions with, again, this was what I was saying about the Columbia space shuttle documentary. I left with more questions than answers. The same with every time Teresa Caputo talks, even on Jeff, I'm like, I have more questions. And I never even got to my point with the Columbia rocket. So spoiler alert, it disintegrates in midair. It disintegrates in midair. And they never talk about if the crew knew what was going to happen right before they happened, or like give us, like, I want a AI model, a 3D model of what would actually happen if you were in the spacecraft from the re-entry into the Earth's atmosphere to the second that it disintegrated. Like, I want to know what the fuck actually happened inside of it. That's what I want to know. So back to the drawing board, CNN. Actually, I really do like the way they do documentaries. Okay, moving on. Then a caller parachuted in. No, they called in to tell us her bed size. What the fuck? And ask Sutton what size sheets she should get for her bed? What size sheets should Sally sell by the seashore? I was like, fucking check the website, lady. Check the website. Go measure your bed and then go on the website and find the measurement. What the, why are you calling Sutton as if she's gonna know measurement? What the fuck? Okay, so then Jeff tells Sutton to go see Angelina, the killer ballerina, in theaters out of some scary movie that's coming out this weekend. You guys, I saw a commercial and these people, they were like eating McDonald's or some burgers and fries and at like a dark table indoors. And all of a sudden she was like, wow, you put a lot of ketchup on that. And he was like, I didn't use ketchup. And then they look up to the ceiling and there's blood. Blood dripping down. Oh my, I was like, that is genius. That is genius. It's probably honestly the same movie that Jeff was talking about. But it was, so I was like, that is so fucking brilliant to have ketchup and be like the ketchup. And it's like, I'm not using ketchup. It's blood. Ew. I hate scary movies, but if you're into that, go see that shit. Okay, moving on to the Thursday episode. We had Reza Farahan and Kristen Give Woman. Give me woman, bitch. No, it's Kristen Take Man. Take the man. Throw him away. Put him in a dumpster. Light it up. No, I'm kidding. We're not part of the He-Man Man Haters Club. It's the opposite of the Little Wonkas. Little Rascals. My mind is scattered. Okay, so Monroe stopped at the nail salon. She needed to unscatter her mind and get another foot scrub and pedicure. Again this week. Of course, it was already approved by Jeff. But then she also came home with an unapproved manicure. Look, last week when I was like, well, look, Monroe's spoiled already and she's just going to be spoiled, just like Sutton. She's just going to be spoiled probably her whole life. But I didn't mean like so spoil as hard as you can. You know, I didn't mean like leave the milk out for 17 years then and just let it spoil forever. Like, no. Try your best to not let the milk spoil. So for Jeff to just be like, oh yeah, just go get more manicures, foot pedicure. Okay. All right. Okay. I would grab that fishing rod and reel it in if I were you, especially with all those court bills. But what the fuck do I know? Or at least like make her do chores for stuff. Do you do that? Or does she do sports? Doesn't she have things to do after school, like gymnastics or like an art club or something? Doesn't she have activities? I don't know. That's the kids I know. I don't know what rich kids in LA do. Just go get manicures with their nannies. Okay. All right. That sounds fulfilling. So then Reza tells us that on Traders, Marcus. Ah, my note said Maria Jordan. That's funny. Marcus Jordan and Larsa Pippen, they got too fitty for doing it. Reza will like slip into these accents and I'm not fucking one to talk about accents. I do it all the goddamn time. But for Reza, I don't, it might be just as jarring as with me, but it's like very jarring when he does it. Like I'm not expecting it. And all of a sudden he's like, Marcus and Larsa, they got paid like $250. They got paid $250 to do their shit. And I'm like, what a fuck? Too fofty, you mean? Too fofty? Remember 50 Cent with Randall Emmett and Lala? Oh, good times. Okay, so then Reza talks about goats and stuff. The show he's on with Jill Zarin. And Shane was like, oh, we heard that you had beef. So have you guys been able to turn it into veggies yet? Or are we still at the steak level? And Jeff was like, no, wait. We're going to need a lot more time to talk about that. So da 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 da. And then like 2 seconds later, he's like, so Reza, I heard that you had beef with Jill. Now we're going to get right into that right after the break. Right after the break, people, hold on to your seatbelts. And it's just like, first of all, Shane just introduced the topic. Jeff shot it down. And then 2 seconds later, he reintroduced the topic and then shot himself down and went to break. Now, this is interviewing 101. You do not give your subject time to think. What the fuck? To think of answers? You don't tell Reza twice. First Shane warned him, then Jeff warned him. We're about to talk about the Jill drama. Jill drama. Why did you just give him a heads up like that? Like when Shane first accidentally got into it, we should have just dipped our toe into it right then and there. Not wait 5 more seconds for Jeff to reintroduce it and then go to commercial, have Reza think of the perfect PR answer to come back with, and then come hear his script that he just wrote in his head. Except I don't think that's what Reza actually did, because when they came back, Reza was just talking shit about Jill. I don't know. They were talking about like how he blocked her because she said shit about him, and well, I'm blocking you and all that, and every like blocking people on Insta. Never forget, these people are in their 40s and 50s. Okay. I feel like Insta's the new Facebook. Like all of a sudden the grandmas and grandpa and parents took over Facebook and we're like, fine, you guys can have it because you ruin it for the rest of us. And now with Insta, it's like the same thing's happening. And it's like, take it. Just take it. This is why I don't participate. Like, I hate the game and the players. I think it's so dumb. Like, I'm blocking. It's just all of that. And also Reza was like, Jill talks so much shit about me in her interviews and said unnecessarily mean things about me. And I am so confused because that is not how reality TV works. Reality TV works that everybody is the best of friends. And in your interviews, you only say the most positive things about each other. Okay. What the fuck do you think this is, Reza? And again, Reza's probably just talking shit for the fun of it to get press about the goat. Who gives a fuck? Who watches these shows? Amy, that's so rude. Some people like it. Have you seen Love After Lockup, though? That's so, it's much more fascinating to me. Okay, But also then Reza, during his time on JLL, he was just saying unnecessarily mean things about Jill. So it's like, oh, you're mad at her for doing the same thing that you did, which he said on the show that happens again on The GOAT, where he gets mad at Jill for doing something and then he does the exact same thing, which I have mentioned on this show because I've witnessed it happen to Jeff. It happens to me when I talk about Jeff and I'm like, I can't believe he would do that. And then like I do it the next week. And also like, it just, that's human. We're just all walking contradictions, and the quicker you learn that, the easier life gets. Okay, and the easier relationships get because you stop expecting people to be perfect. So, or maybe that's just a projection I use for protection against my little black heart. Speaking of people with little black hearts, on Friday's episode, we had Jackie Schimmel and Heather McDonald. No, I'm kidding. I wish. No, it's Heather McMahon. Never forget that Heather McMahon is married to Uncle Joey. Oh, it's so cute. Does that make her Aunt Joey? Aunt? And then she was saying that she was trying to offer up. Wait, actually, no, she's not. Jeff Daniels. That's Dave Coulier. Who's Jeff Daniels? Oh, right. So the Dumb and Dumber guy. I'm dumb and dumber. Okay. I'm dumb and dumber. But it's hilarious to me because she was, Heather was offering up, what's his face? Jeff Daniels. Oh my God. I really am dumb and dumber. She was offering up Jeff Daniels to be security for Jeff Lewis. And it's just like, who would take that seriously? Well, I'd be like, you can't triple stamp a double stamp, Lloyd. That's all I would say to his face, because that's all I say in my regular life anyways, because I love quoting random ass shit. Now, Dumb and Dumber, so, oh my God, in the top 10, with the Little Rascals, with Matilda, with Good Burger. What about Bob? Well, the list will grow over time. Okay, so then we talk more about how Jeff's neighborhood's been burglarized and, again, why he would need Jeff Daniels to protect it. But also, him and some neighbors, they were thinking of getting a patrolman for the four houses near the, just four neighbors go in on one patrol guy. Now, riddle me this, though, because they're saying that the LAPD took like an hour to get to one of the robberies recently in Jeff's neighborhood. And I'm like, well, yeah, but aren't the LAPD kind of busy right now? Haven't you checked the headlines? Aren't there riots to keep in peace? I don't know. So allegedly, I don't fucking know. You got to focus on your own community because the rest of the world, it's scurry. As Jill Zarin pointed out, and many elders in my life point out, they love to be like, the world is getting crazy. And I'm like, the world's always been crazy. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for tuning in live. These people have been watching the world on DVR this whole time. They've been watching reruns, and now they finally hit the live button, and they realize how fucking crazy shit is. It's always been crazy. So my whole thing, though, is why would having one patrol person for four houses solve anything. So say somebody's robbing Chateau Lewis and the patrolman's at his neighbor's house, then goes to house number two, then Jeff's house is house number three. So by then the robbers already have half of Monroe's closet in their car. You know, they like rip the mermaid mural off the wall. The robber's like, oh my God, my kid would love this. My wife won't have to paint her room now. No, that's so rude. Sparkles worked really hard on that mural. So what was I saying? Oh yeah. And then, so the patrolman is like, oh my God, call 911. Like, what is the patrolman? Are they, if they shoot at the robber, if they have an accomplice, okay, great. Now it's two against one. It's three against one. It's however, or in the band of robbers against this one patrol guy. So really the only thing that he's going to do is call 911 and wait for LAPD to get to your house. He's going to wait an hour and just watch them rob your house. You're just paying somebody to watch them rob your house, essentially. So I just, I want to forewarn Jeff and his neighbors. That's not the solution. I don't know what is. I just know what isn't. Okay. So Jeff saw Miss Pat perform stand-up last night, and this was just so funny to me because Jeff was like, oh my God, I love Miss Pat. And Heather was like, oh, she's the best. And Jeff was like, what? You know her? Oh my God, she is the best. I want her on my show. And it was just like, asking Heather if you know Miss Pat, asking a comedian if they know Miss Pat, that's like asking an actor if they know Tom Cruise. That's like asking a seamstress if they know Vera Wang or something. You know, like, it's just like Miss Pat is such a staple. And Jeff Lewis, you know what Miss Pat doesn't stand for? Some motherfucking bullshit, okay? She don't stand for your bullshit. So you can invite her on your show all you want, but I guarantee you would never treat Miss Pat the way that you treated Julian Brandy, okay? Or any Jen Green, Heather McDonald, Stuart O'Keefe. And I get it, you've been good this week, so we'll give you a nod of acknowledgement, but you gotta keep it up a lot more than that. And also, a caller, Kelly, called in. She was coming in hot, and I was loving every second. I was like, throw that sizzle on the motherfucking skillet. But she was like, Jeff, I can't even believe Heather and Jackie would be on your show after what you did to those girls. And Jeff was like, what? After I did to who? After what? I did something? What? What are you talking about? I'm fucking perfect, bitch. I'm like, she's obviously talking about Julian Brandy. And if she's not talking about Julian Brandy, then let me remind you that Julian Brandy, we love them and we love Jeff and we love everybody. Okay, also just to end this, Jameson, he went to Club 33 and he was like, yeah, I went with my boyfriend and some pals. Some pals? Move over, toots. My pals are coming to town. Like, what the fuck? I love the old school lingo. Even Doug Budin on this week's episode, he tossed out a Gerald Ford reference. And you could tell that he had thought of it in his head and he couldn't wait to say it. He was like, that hotel was older than Gerald Ford is. And I'm like, who the fuck is Gerald Ford? The car maker? Is he the one in charge of all those trucks out there? Like, what the fuck? I get it. He was a president. I'm not that dumb and dumber, but really, what did he do? I don't know. I don't want to get into it. I do know that another Jeff Lewis Live favorite, Nikki Glaser, she's going to be on the Tom Brady Live Roast this weekend. She's going to absolutely crush it. And I just can't fucking wait for it. They better not throw any shade at New England, okay? I'm telling you right here, right now. But they can throw shade at Tom from New England. You know what I mean? You can be like, we used to think T was the goat, and now Boston wants to throw T off the boat, bitch. Yep, Nikki will definitely be asking me for some joke writing tips, so I will go help her out with that. Oh, also, just quick announcement. Splash of Sass, we're going on pause. So have the best lives ever. I love you guys so much. Love you, bye.
Splash, splash, splash. Splash of Sass. I should say.